Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know from where it comes or where it goes. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except to the one descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Well, on the heels of celebrating the Holy Spirit's coming at Pentecost last week, comes Holy Trinity Sunday, focusing on the relationship between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. As our opening hymn described, today we celebrate God in three persons, Blessed Trinity. Well, this past Tuesday, Pastor Dave and I had the privilege of doing worship services for some of the senior care centers around town. And in his message, Dave uplifted the idea that many good things come in threes. A favorite summertime sandwich, bacon, lettuce, tomato, right? A classic Dairy Queen treat is the Peanut Buster Parfait. Soft serve ice cream, hot fudge, and a generous dollop of peanuts on top. And of course, the very best trio ever is the Holy Trinity. However, our human attempts to understand or illustrate this concept of the Trinity very quickly become a challenge. Perhaps you've heard a children's sermon where the Trinity was compared to an egg because there's the shell, the yolk, and the white. Or maybe you've heard the illustration of the Trinity compared to water in its three forms: liquid, ice, steam. Well, while these examples point out three distinct characteristics of a substance, the illustrations fall short because those three distinct attributes always must remain separate from each other. The shell can't be the yolk or the white, and water is either a liquid or it's ice or it's steam. It's not all three at once. It's quite different with the Trinity. God as Creator Parent, as Redeemer Son, and as Advocate Spirit are very distinct with separate identities. And yet, they are as one, beautifully and seamlessly united in their presence with us. How can this be? Our human mind struggles to wrap itself around such an inexpressible wonder. Well, our gospel lesson this morning is John 3:1-17. And this exchange between Jesus and the religious leader Nicodemus is quite a depthful passage, not quickly or easily to be absorbed. In fact, usually we like to just kind of fast forward to John 3:16, because we all know that verse, right? But in his encounter with Nicodemus, Jesus just pours forth a treasure trove, expressing God's interaction with the world as Father, Son, and Spirit. We hear Jesus referring to our entering God's kingdom through water and the Spirit, a foreshadowing of our baptism through the Holy Spirit to become God's children. Jesus refers to Moses lifting up a bronze serpent in the wilderness, and he compares this to the Son of Man being lifted up, a clear foreshadowing of Jesus' death on the cross. And Jesus refers to the all-encompassing love God has for the world. God sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Well, in this gospel passage from John, the relationship of Trinity is sweeping and broad. The interaction of God as Father, as Son, and as Spirit is dynamic, powerful, ever present. And like Nicodemus, we may feel a bit flummoxed by this grand panorama, and we may be asking the same question: how can this be? How can we come to understand God in three persons? Well, I think the answer lies less in understanding the nature of the Trinity and more about understanding the work of the Trinity. And just how shall we better understand the work of the Trinity? Well, thankfully, there's this guy named Martin Luther. Maybe you've heard of him. He wrote this little handbook, The Small Catechism, and unpacked a lot of the basics of our faith, from the Ten Commandments to the Lord's Prayer, from the sacraments to what confession is. Martin Luther covered it in The Small Catechism. And so on this Holy Trinity Sunday, we're going to turn to some of Luther's thoughts on the Apostles' Creed. Well, as you know, the Apostles' Creed is a statement of faith in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We say it most every week when we gather in worship. And the Apostles' Creed is neatly divided into those three parts, which are known as articles. So I'm bringing you back to confirmation class this morning. You received a handout as you came in the door, and we'd like to refer to that now. So I'll give you a second to access that. And I'll just say that the first part of the Apostles' Creed, the first article, focuses on God's work as creator. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I'm going to invite you now to read with me the meaning of this first article as outlined by Martin Luther. So I ask, what does this mean? Join with me. I believe that God has created me together with all that exists. God has given me and still preserves my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all limbs and senses, reason, and all mental faculties. In addition, God daily and abundantly provides shoes, clothing, food and drink, house and farm, spouse and children, fields, livestock, and all property, along with all the necessities and nourishment for this body and life. God protects me against all danger and shields and preserves me from all evil. And all this is done out of pure, fatherly, and divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness of mine at all. For all of this, I owe it to God to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. Well, as we just read, God is our heavenly parent who provides for us, who cares for us. As God's children, the work of God as creator is never one and done. God's work is in and around us each and every day, bringing forth life, nurturing life with all it needs. You know, our bodies are really wired to heal and to be strengthened. If you've ever suffered an injury and had to do physical therapy, you've likely seen this firsthand. Physical therapists work in tandem with our bodies to help us regain strength, movement, agility. Now, that doesn't always come easy, nor does it mean that perfect results are always attained. But the capacity of our bodies to heal and rebound is truly incredible. After my 97-year-old mother required some therapy, we were amazed when she achieved the goal of 1 mile on the recumbent stepper in the exercise room. We were even more amazed when she reached 2 miles and topped out at 3 miles daily. This was something she continued to enjoy and brag about until she was taken home to the Lord 2 weeks shy of her 100th birthday. Now, of course, we know our bodies are not invincible. They are vulnerable. And while we were created in God's image due to the fall of humanity and creation, none of us are privileged to live this earthly life forever. And so Creator God needed to provide his beloved children with a path to live with him in eternity. Our loving God created this path through Christ, our Redeemer. And this is the focus of the second article, God's work as Redeemer. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. Together, let's read what Luther says about this second article of our Christian faith. What does this mean? I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father in eternity, and also a true human being, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned human being. He has purchased and freed me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death. He has done all this in order that I may belong to him, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in eternal righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead and lives and rules eternally. This is most certainly true. I mentioned the fall in the garden a moment ago, and I'd like us to remember that more than just a bite of an apple, what theologians call the fall into sin wasn't just a little stumble or misstep by our spiritual ancestors, Adam and Eve. Created in God's image, human beings were given the will to choose their path. God wanted, you see, a relationship with real people, not just automatons that would do whatever he commanded them. And so God gave us the gift of free will. Free will meant the ability to choose our path, and choose we did. God's first creation of humanity went down a path of their own choosing, choosing to eat from the tree of knowledge, claiming the awareness of good and evil, an awareness that was meant only for God. Humanity's choice meant a breach of relationship with our Creator. There was now a gap, a broken space between God and God's beloved children. So ever creative, God took on our human flesh in Christ Jesus. Jesus came to earth to live among us, to serve among us, to suffer with us, even to die with us, for us. Humanity's choice to turn and go our own way left a broken gap in our pathway to God, but on the cross, Jesus repaired the ugly gap between our Creator and us. On the cross, Jesus bridged the gap, giving us a new pathway to walk in faith. And all this was achieved that we may belong to him, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in eternal righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. This is the work of the Redeemer. So now we're to the third article, uplifting God's work as sanctifier. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Now, sanctify is a very churchy word that you don't really hear all that often anymore. It means to set something apart, to make it sacred. And so the contemporary word for sanctify is to make it holy. You will see this reflected in the current version of Luther's explanation of the third article. So what does this mean? I believe that by my own understanding or strength, I cannot believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But instead, the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, made me holy, and kept me in the true faith. Just as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and makes holy the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one common true faith. Daily in this Christian church, the Holy Spirit abundantly forgives all sins, mine and those of all believers. On the last day, the Holy Spirit will raise me and all the dead, and will give to me and all believers in Christ eternal life. This is most certainly true. So Christ's work on the cross gave us a superhighway access back to our God. The way had been cleared for us to know and love, to serve and live in harmony with our Creator. But there's still that matter of free will. Each day, there'd be the option for humanity, for us, to walk life's path with our God or be distracted and pulled off the pathway by tempting choices of every kind. Would God be in the driver's seat of our life's vehicle, or would we choose to put God in the back seat, maybe even the trunk, on occasion? The words of the hymn, "Come, thou fount of every blessing," say it like this: prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. The work of the Creator and the Redeemer was not fully complete without the work of the Sanctifier, God's Holy Spirit. Our journey on the road of faith needs regular fuel-ups by the Holy Spirit. For through the work of the Spirit, we are all on a journey to holiness. The Spirit lives within us, assures us of God's promises, gathers us close in the Father's embrace, enlightens us with God's word, and gives us daily forgiveness for our sin. Even as we look forward to that day when we are eternally united with God as believers, as God's own beloved family. And so, on this Holy Trinity Sunday, we have heard and spoken Martin Luther's words describing God in three persons. However we may imagine it, reflecting on the work of triune God as creator and redeemer and sanctifier, deepen our awareness of God. On moments, on days like today, when we come together to worship and pray. So today, as we praise our awesome, amazing God, let us join the angels as in the first lesson, who were calling out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Amen.